Ready? All right, let's stand for the honor of reading God's word. We will wrap up our study in parables this morning as we look at Luke chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 16. Luke chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus says, "But he said to him, 'A man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent a slave to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is ready now." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, "I bought a piece of land and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused." Another one said, "I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to try them out. Please consider me excused." Another one said, "I have married a wife and for that reason I cannot come." And the slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, "Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the crippled and the blind and lame." And the slave said, "Master, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room." And the master said to the slave, "Go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner." Let's pray. Father, as we look at this parable today, I pray that you would speak to us and that we would hear your voice. Lord, we thank you for your word, for it is true, and you have spoken to us this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd give us ears to hear and eyes to see, a heart to receive, a mind to believe, Lord, and a will to obey your word to us today. Help me to preach plain and clear, Lord. I understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Amen. Thank you. As we're looking at this text, we notice right off an invitation. There's an invitation to the master is throwing a big dinner, a big dinner. It's a great celebration, great time, a great fellowship. How many of you all have ever been invited to a party? All right. A lot of you don't have any friends, I guess. So you've been invited to a party, been invited to a place where, man, there's going to be some happening stuff. There's going to be good music. There's going to be good fellowship. There's going to be good food. And this parable sets up the fact here that Jesus is coming and bringing his kingdom, okay? And the Jewish people, they were awaiting the Messiah. They were waiting for their feast with the Messiah. But here's the thing, they missed it. They missed it. And they missed the greatest invitation that has ever been given. And this would have been the second invitation. There was 2 invitations given in the custom of this day. There would be that initial invitation that you're invited, and then when things were ready, there would be that second invitation of saying, it's now time to come. And so the master had prepared a dinner, and it was now ready. It was ready. There was a big dinner ready. How many of y'all realize that Jesus has provided for us grace, mercy, and forgiveness now? It's ready. It's ready to receive. You can receive the grace of God now. And today the invitation goes out to come and feast at this wonderful thing that we call the kingdom of God. And it is the best party that you can be a part of. How many of y'all realize that the Christian life is the greatest life that you can live? It's not the easiest life you can live, but it's the greatest life you can live. As a Christian, we are given the feast of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. We have the things that this world cannot and never will give to us. You see, the world has a lot of fake imitation parties, but God has the true party. Amen. How many of y'all been to some of the world's parties? Huh? Some of you been to the world's parties and you thought you were having life and you thought you were having a good time, and then the next morning you woke up and you realized what? Headache wasn't that fun, was it? What I thought was life really was death. What I thought was joy wasn't. is a momentary thrill. But what God promises is eternal and everlasting life, where we can know for certain that we are saved and that we are going to heaven when we die. How many of y'all like that assurance, huh? The world can't give us that. And so the invitation goes out to many. It comes out to, he's inviting you to come. And we know that it's God's desire that none perish, right? That's what Peter tells us. God does not want any to perish, but he wants us to come to repentance and faith in Jesus. And so how many in this room this morning then is God inviting to come to the party? Everybody. If you've not answered the invitation, if you've not responded to the invitation, he's asking you today to come to the greatest party you could ever come, the greatest dinner that you could ever be a part of, the kingdom of God. He's inviting you to participate with him today. And if you've never placed your faith in Jesus, guess what? There's going to be a time where we have at the close of this service where you can say, I need to trust in Jesus and I want to accept that invitation. Some of you have. Some of you have experienced that. But some of you still are in limbo. And many of you are like the three folks in this parable that began to make excuses. Notice, they were invited to this great party. They were invited to this dinner. And one of them said, well, I bought a piece of land and I got to go look at it. Now, whether this is a valid excuse or not, I don't know. I mean, most people would look at a land before they purchase it, but maybe it was a conditional thing, like, if I like it, I'll buy it. Again, the second one says, I bought some ox, I need to go try it out. Again, wouldn't you think you would try that out first before you buy them? But maybe it was a conditional offer as well. If I lock the ox, I'll buy it. And the other one said, I'm married. And whether that was a valid excuse or not, I don't know either. But regardless whether you have a valid excuse or not, there is no excuse for rejecting the greatest invitation ever. No excuse holds up. There's no excuse valid that would warrant the dismissal of this invitation. There's not an excuse these guys could have given that would have said, please excuse me, I'm going to bow out this time. But you know, if I get around to it, maybe I'll come. No. What these guys did, they checked their, you know, iCalendar and they got their phone out and they said, no, I'm booked. I can't make it. Sorry. Why would you miss the greatest dinner that you've ever been invited to? Why would you not go to the greatest party that you could have ever be a part of? Why? There's a couple reasons. One is this. They did not recognize the greatness of the event that they were invited to. And they were deceived in thinking that what they had was greater than what they were invited to. Why do so many people not respond to the gospel? It's because the devil is a lie and he deceives many. And we think that what we possess and the parties that we're engaged in is greater than the kingdom of God. And so we refuse that invitation. And many, they just are concerned about their own endeavors and neglect God's endeavors. So you hear all kinds of excuses. What's your excuse? What excuse are you going to give to God to say, you know what? Thanks, but no thanks. What excuse can you come up with this morning that will let you off the hook? That you can say, you know what? I know I need to give my life to Jesus, but not now. I'll do it later. I've heard so many people use that one. I'll do it later. How many of y'all have heard that one? I know I need to come to Jesus, but not now. I'll do it later. But here's the thing. You never know if you get later. Some people say, well, I've got so many things that I need to get rid of, and once I get rid of those, then I'll come to Jesus. You'll never get rid of those. And what you're saying by the, I've got so much things I need to get rid of, and when I, is I'm not willing to release those yet to come to Jesus. Because, once again, you're deceived in thinking that that which you hold on to and the party that you're involved in is a lot better than the one you're invited to. So you won't go. Excuse after excuse. People will give excuses of why they will not respond to the kingdom of God. But there's not going to be an excuse that holds up. You will not be able to stand before God on judgment day. And he says, why did you reject my son? Why did you not accept my son as Lord and Savior? There is not one excuse you're going to be able to come up to that you say to God. And he goes, oh, I didn't think about that one. That was a good one. You're right. Don't worry about it. Come on in. There's not going to be one excuse that you can give to that's going to be justifiable for you not saying yes to the kingdom of God. So this morning, if you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, you never said yes to the greatest invitation ever, I want to highly encourage you to do that this morning. Don't walk out of here with an excuse. Because whether the excuse is valid or not valid, it will not hold up. You must respond to the invitation. Well, the master gets upset. You mean the people that I've invited will not come? He says, well, then go out into the lanes and the streets and go invite the crippled, the lame, the poor. Go invite them. They'll come. They'll come. My people won't come. The ones that's been invited, they don't want to come. Fine. Go out and get those who are considered the outcast to come. They would love to come to a party. In a dinner. Aren't you glad he comes to those who are the outcast? Aren't you glad that he reached out to the Gentiles? That would be us. Aren't you glad that he uses the weak things of the world to confound the wise? That's what Paul was saying to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 1:26, Paul says, for consider your calling. He's talking to the church. He says, for consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. He's saying, we don't have a lot of PhDs in our church. We don't have a lot of senators in our church. We don't have a lot of nobility in the church. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. I don't see anybody here that has the ability to say, well, yeah, God saved me because of who I am. I don't see any movie stars among us, professional athletes among us. I see just a lot of ordinary people who don't deserve the grace of God, but he reached out to us anyway, and he said, you want to come to the party? You want to come to the dinner? And I see a lot of folks that said, yes, I want to come to your party. I want to be a part of your dinner. I'm glad that he calls out to the lowly. Amen. The humble shall inherit the earth, Jesus said. The meek, those who hear the invitation, know they're poor, know they're in need of help, are welcomed to the greatest banquet, the greatest dinner, the greatest kingdom, eternal life. Isn't that good? I've been invited. You've been invited? How many of y'all can say, thank you, Jesus, for inviting me to your kingdom? Because we can't brag about it. Not one of us gets to go to heaven and we act like we're all that. We get to go to heaven and brag on Jesus because he's everything. So if we're going to boast, Paul says, boast How? In the Lord. Boast in the Lord. And so they go out and they invite the crippled, the lame, the poor to do it. And they say, we've done that. And then look at this next verse. It says in verse 22. And they said, there still is room. Still there's room. There's still more room. Look at your neighbor and say, there's still more room. There's still more room. There's still more room. He says, go out in the hedges and the highways and compel them to come in so that my house might be full. Now, why does God want a full house in his kingdom? Why does God want a full house in his kingdom? Talk to me. Huh? Why does God want a full house in his kingdom? Because he knows he offers the greatest party that there is. And that the world only has an imitation. And he wants people at the real dance and not the fake. God knows that he has the kingdom. It is his kingdom. He wants a full house. He wants people in his kingdom because he knows that he is the one that offers the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness. And he desires people to know him. And so God wants a full house. He doesn't want an empty chair at the table. He wants a full house. Look around. Do we have some empty seats here? Is there still more room? There's still more room. Now what we got to do is we got to be a church that is always still more room. Minded. Huh? Look at your neighbor and say, there's still more room. Now here's what church is getting. Here's the thing churches do. And it doesn't matter what church you're at, where you're at, what size of church you are. Every church at some point, if you're not careful, if you don't have the still more room attitude, you'll have a church and you'll get to a certain number and then people will be like, that's enough. That's enough. We've got enough people. Okay? Yeah, I didn't mind if some more people came, but enough is enough. Right? That can happen. I don't know everybody anymore. Hallelujah. There's still more room. There's still a place at the table. There's still hurting people. There's still poor people, lame people, blind people, lost people. There are folks out there that you live with, that you live next to, that you work with. They need a place at the table, and there's still more room. They're at the other parties. They're at the parties of the world. They think they have life, but they don't have life. They need to come at the dinner of the grace of God and experience true life. There's still more room. There's still more room for that loved one that's a family member that doesn't know Jesus to sit next to you and celebrate the forgiveness of God. Amen? Go out in the hedges and the highways. Well, where are those? Go to where you work. Go to the schools. Young people, go. There's some of your fellow students. I know they may kind of laugh at you and mock you because, you go to church. But they need to hear the greatness of the kingdom. They need to know how good it is to sit at the table of God's grace. There's people you live next to that may not know Jesus. Is there still more room for them? Does God care for them? Does God want them to be saved? There's still more room. And the way that we're going to reach the world is by living our lives and loving Jesus and celebrating the festivity of what it means to be a believer and enjoying his table and living a genuine life that shows that we love Jesus. Let me ask you just some questions that might sound foolish. Do you enjoy the dinner? Do you enjoy the dinner table? Do you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Is it a joy to serve the Lord? I mean, is the life of faith so precious to you that there's nothing else out there that you would desire? Is your faith in Jesus so real that no matter what happens to you, that your faith is strong? Does the dinner table taste so good? Is the celebration so good that even in the midst of your darkest hour, you can still cry out praises to your King? Is your faith genuine and real that you truly say, I can say from the depths of my heart that I love the Lord and I'm a Christian and I'm not ashamed? That's the kind of people that Jesus needs to be going out into the hedges and highways and telling people, hey, there's a better way. There's another way to live. You don't have to live in the deceitfulness of this world. You can live for the joy of the Lord. When I think about, like, as a pastor, what are some things that I would love to see this church become, and what is it that I want for you, as a church member, those of you of a potential church member? I want you to be people who genuinely love the Lord, and your faith is real. That's the bottom line. I mean, that's the bottom line of what, you know, Grant, what would you like to see come out of Living Water Church? I would say I would love to see a group of people who love Jesus and enjoy serving Him and loving Him. So it would look like this. Husbands, I'd love to have a church full of husbands who truly loves their wife like Christ loves the church. And wives who honor and respect and love your husband the way that you should. I'd love to see mom and dads who love their kids and nurture their kids and teach them and model for them and model in their lives and the way that they live what it means to be a lover and follower of Jesus. I'd love to see you go to work and enjoy your work in such a way that you are the light there. And that you are one of the best workers and you bring hope to those who are hurting. I'd love to see you enjoy serving His church in an area. Not overly involved, but get involved. I'd love to have you be people who love the Word of God, not so that you can know all of the mysteries and complex theological concepts of the Word, but that you can love the God of the Word, and that your relationship with Him grows strong and steady. Because there's no greater joy in my life than my faith. And when I see it begin to impact people I love, and the world can't give you the joy that God gives you. I'm not a perfect man, but I love God. And one of the things that blessed me, and some of you parents, you may have experienced this too, but I was in the house the other day, and Micah, she likes to play school. So she's got a little whiteboard, a little white marker board, and I'm in the kitchen doing something, and I hear her in there teaching a class. And she's going, now Jesus fed 5,000 people. That more? With just two fish. Just two fish. That's amazing. Did you hear me? Jesus fed 5,000 people. Jesus, He walked on water. You need to trust Jesus, class. I'm thinking, oh, I mean, I'm just like, man, this was no greater joy, right? The world can't give you that. And so last night we got back from a long softball tournament game, and we go in her room, and on her desk there's a notebook, and in the notebook it's really nice handwriting. We're like, we didn't know whose it was at first. We're like, who came in and started writing and copying scripture in our house. It was like, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it was the story. It was the Bible. And it was Micah. She was copying the Bible. She has her little children's Bible on her desk, and she was copying down scripture. And so we looked over at the little whiteboard, and I took a picture. And so at the whiteboard, she has word of the day. The word of the day was trust, courage, work. And over there in the corner, you know, it has why it says, trust in the Lord, feed 5,000 more walking on water, use your courage. And then on the other side of the whiteboard, it had verse of the day, trust in the Lord, for he is good. It's amazing to me how oftentimes, as small children, we get it. The love of God just so comes into the heart of a child. And then for some reason, as we get older, we let the world knock us around. We let things happen and we get disappointed. We get discouraged. We get hurt. We get abused. And our heart becomes hardened, our ears become dull, and we forget how amazing the dinner is. And we close our ears and our eyes and our mind to the invitation, and we miss out on the greatest dinner imaginable. But today, guess what? For those of us who know Jesus, may we remember the greatness of God's grace and feast at his table today. For those of you who have never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, guess what? We don't want you to miss it. We don't want you walking out of this place with an excuse. We want you to come and experience what it means to know the Lord and to have the joy of the Lord. And so this morning, would you come? Maybe we just need to pray for folks. Maybe there's some things in your life as an adult, as a mom, as a dad, that you've let creep into your life that you know isn't the party that God wants you to be at. And you need to lay some things down today. You need to say, God, I've been picking up some things that don't belong at your table. And today I lay it down. So would you just let God work, and whatever he's speaking in your heart to do, would you do? And if you need to trust in Jesus as Savior, come and say, Grant, man, I need to know Jesus. And we'll pray. Amen. Father, we thank you so much this morning that we have an opportunity, Lord, to come to the greatest party ever. That we're invited to the dinner table of your grace, of your kingdom. Father, that's not just for the here and now, but it's forever. And we get a chance to sit at your table. Thank you for inviting us, Lord. Lord, there may be some folks here, they've not accepted the invitation, but you're inviting them today. You're saying, come, come, come to the dinner, come to the kingdom, come to mercy. Father, would they come? Lord, forgive us when we have forgotten how great you are. Forgive us, Lord, if we've not been celebrating and living in the joy of the kingdom like we should. Restore to us, God, the joy of your salvation. Lord, speak and move, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, let's sing, let's respond, let's come.